So I wanted to talk about the Magi. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us very much about the Magi. Just two places, Isaiah 60 and then Matthew 2. There's no mention of the Magi anywhere else in the Bible. And yet, in our minds, we can draw images of them. The Bible never describes the physical appearance of Jesus, his mother, the disciples. And yet, if we close our eyes, embedded in our minds are images of those people. There's five things that we know about the Magi. It's a word taken from the Greek magos, M-A-G-O-S, and describes wise men, astrologers, prognosticators, people that can tell the future. They came from the East, we know. They presented Jesus with three gifts. They likely worshipped Yahweh and may have been from the tribe of Levi. They visited Jesus when he was an infant, younger than 2 years old. So yes, I know it, the crushes and stuff, we always have the three wise men there, but if you read the Bible, the wise men visited Mary and Joseph in a house, not in the manger. So didn't mean to disperse that thought for all of you, but so he's younger than two. Rudolf of Saxony in the 13th century thought they weren't magicians, but they were very, very intelligent people, and their insights allowed them to understand things that others couldn't yet understand. Now, the only authoritative information we have on the wise men really is from Matthew. There's other documents. There's the revelation of the Magi that's in the Apocrypha. There's the birth of the Savior, another non-gospel source. It's not at odds with what Matthew says, but it's not the gospel. They support the fact that God gives us what we need when we need it. So I want to give you my abridged version of a story that's called The Other Wise Men. It was written by a fellow named Henry Van Dyke in 1895. Who was a theologian. His dad was a theologian. He was just a learned guy that wrote some pretty interesting stories. So I try to bring this forward for us. So at the time when Augustus Caesar ruled the Roman Empire, and this is Italy and all the way around the Mediterranean, I mean, he rules this vast space. And Herod the Great is chosen to rule the Israel area, Judea. Artaban is a Magi living in Persia. And he's seen the same star that some of the other Magi friends of his had seen. They all interpreted it as part of the fulfillment of a prophecy regarding the child king. Artaban sold everything he had, and he purchased a sapphire, a ruby, and a beautiful, magnificent pearl. He was going to give this to the child king. So he set out on a 10-day journey to meet his friends, to rendezvous with them, so they could all travel together and see this child king. It's much safer to travel in groups than alone. He wanted desperately to kneel in front of the child king and present these gifts to him. So he mounted his favorite Arabian horse. Here's another thought I'll probably blow the balloon on. But you know, these guys rode horses. Probably did not ride camels. Camels were for the poor. Camels were for caravans and pack animals. People like this, they rode beautiful Arabian stallions. And he hurried, knowing that he had to meet his friends within these 10 days or they're going to leave. Within hours of getting to where he wants to be, he stopped his horse and dismounted. It's still early. He had plenty of time. But in the middle of the road, lying in the road, was this poor Jew. Very humble dress. You could see he was ill. Artaban touched this old bony hand of this man, and the man gripped the bottom of Artaban's robe. You know, kind of Artaban resented the fact that this guy was delaying him from meeting his friends. He really had to go and get there to be with him. But he knew that if he left this person in the middle of the road, the person would probably die. So he administered to the man, because magi were also physicians. He knew the man may not survive, but he had to try. Well, the man regained his strength, and he sat up and asked the magi, "Who are you? Why did you help me?" And Artaban told him, I'm Artaban, I'm a magi, and I'm going to Jerusalem to give praise to the child king of the Jews." Well, this haggard old man raised his trembling hands toward the heavens and said to Artaban, "I have nothing to repay you with your kindness. But our prophets had told us that the king will be born in Bethlehem of Judah, not Jerusalem. May the Lord bring you safely to that place." So Artaban mounted his horse, but when he got to the rendezvous, his friends had already left. But they left a note, told him he needed to purchase his provisions and follow them. So he sold his sapphire to purchase provisions. He joined the caravan to carry him across the sea of sand that's in front of him. And after many days, he arrived in Bethlehem. Well, the city seemed deserted when he got there, and he heard the sounds of a woman's voice singing from an inn. And he entered and saw this young mother rocking her baby to sleep. She had told him, "Yeah, your friends had been here 3 days ago, and they saw Mary and Joseph and their child named Jesus. But the travelers suddenly left, and Mary and Joseph, they left to go to Egypt. The baby was asleep, and the young mother rose to tend to Artaban. And suddenly there's this commotion outside. People are screaming, 'Soldiers, soldiers, they're killing the children!' The innkeeper's face grew white with terror as she reached her child and clutched the child in her arms. So Artaban went quickly and stood in the doorway. Very imposing person. He's there as soldiers tried to barge their way in. Their hands and uniforms were stained crimson from the blood they had shed during the night. At the sight of this imposing stranger, they hesitated, and a centurion approached, attempting to push Artaban aside. Artaban didn't move, and he said, "You know, I'm a stranger here, and I want to give this ruby to a centurion that would leave me and this inn alone." Well, this ruby glistened in the hollow of the centurion's hand, like blood. The pupils expanded as he desired this gem. So he put the jewel in his pouch and yelled to his men, "March on, there's nobody here." And they left. Artaban turned his face to the east, asking God for forgiveness. "Forgive my sin. I lied to save the life of a child, and now two of my gifts, they're gone." The mother, weeping for joy in a shadow behind him, said, "You saved the life of my child. May the Lord always be with you." The next morning, Artaban got up, got on his horse and rode toward Egypt in search of Jesus. While there, he consulted with a rabbi who told him that the king you search for, it's not going to be found among the rich and the powerful. It's going to be found among the poor, the needy. Artaban searched for 30 years and got into Jerusalem just as it was Passover. The city's filled with people. And there's an agitation of vibrating throughout the city, especially on the road leading to the Damascus Gate. Well, he heard that there's going to be an execution. Two robbers and some Nazarene called Jesus are going to be crucified. Artaban was an old man now, but he followed the multitude of people toward Golgotha. Before leaving Jerusalem, he saw these Roman soldiers dragging this young girl by her hair. Suddenly, she broke free and ran up to Artaban and threw herself at his feet and said, "Sir, have pity on me. My father died, leaving us in debt, and the soldiers are going to sell me as a slave." Artaban remembered twice when he had given the gifts that he had brought for his gift to God. And he took the final gift, this beautiful pearl, put it in the girl's hand and said, "This is your freedom. I have nothing more." As he did this, the darkness in the sky deepened. Tremors ran through the earth. Walls of the houses swayed. Stones were loosened and crashed on the street. Soldiers fled in terror, and a heavy tile fell and struck Artemon. He fell, breathless and pale, his head resting on the girl's shoulder. Blood began trickling from his wound. And the girl could hear the old man say, "Not so, my lord. I have searched for you for 30 years and have never found you. Although I have healed the sick, aided those in need of help, I have never presented you my gift, and now they're gone." The girl heard a warm voice saying, "I tell you, Artemon, you have blessed me by your actions. When you helped the lowest of my people, you're showering me with your love." A very calm radiance emanated from the face of Artemon. A long breath, his last breath, exhaled from his lips. His journey had ended. So God doesn't give us everything we want. God doesn't give us what we need when we don't need it. He gives us what we need when we need it. So Christmas is a joyous remembrance of God's love for us. Every day, not just Christmas, we need to remember that God's provided us with what we need most, a Savior. Merry Christmas. God loves you.